Okay, here we go. Stand by. 3, 2, 1.
The Thinking Atheist. It's not a person. It's a symbol. An idea.
The population of atheists in this country is going through the roof.
Rejecting faith. Pursuing knowledge. Challenging the sacred.
If I tell the truth, it's because I tell the truth. Not because I put my hand on a book and made a wish.
And working together for a more rational world.
Take the risk of thinking for yourself. Much more happiness, truth, beauty, and wisdom will come to you that way.
Assume nothing. Question everything. And start thinking. This is the Thinking Atheist Podcast, hosted by Seth Andrews.
This last year has been a year of big news and some bad news and some really good news, a lot of interesting news. Some of these stories, I'd wager you haven't even heard. Once again, we're going to tally up and count down some of the biggest and most interesting stories of 2021. Of course, this is a subjective compilation. There's no way to cover everything that happened. There's just no way, you know. So this is kind of a potpourri. Once again, near the end of the broadcast, we'll talk about the famous names that we lost, and we will climax the broadcast with a section that a lot of people consider their favorite. It's weird news, just a smattering of some of the most bizarre, strange, fascinating stories from all around the world. Going to be a good show today as we get ready for the new year. Let's quickly look back at 2021, the year in review. We got to start with January 6th, insurrection, unprecedented in the worst sense of the word. Pro-Trump rioters smashing into the United States Capitol building on the day Congress was voting to approve President Joe Biden's 2020 election win. They'd come out of a March for Trump rally earlier in the day, and they moved from that rally down to the Capitol. Chaos. Chaos outside the Capitol and inside. Vandalism, looting, violence, tear gas deployed, gunshots, evacuations. Congress people taking cover in their offices and anywhere they could find. 5 people died either before, during, or after the insurrection. Hundreds of injuries, including 138 police officers. Meanwhile, they found pipe bombs at both the Democrat and Republican National Committee offices. Congress did reconvene in the early morning hours of January 7th, and they counted the electoral votes. Trump got his second impeachment by the House of Representatives for incitement. But Trump was acquitted by the Senate. 650 people charged with federal crimes related to the insurrection. Beyond all the death and injury, the riots produced over $30 million in repairs to the Capitol itself, including damage to the historic bronze Columbus doors and the portraits of John Quincy Adams and Thomas Jefferson. Taxpayers are having to foot that bill. The day after the insurrection, Facebook banned Donald Trump, deleted his account, you're gone. Twitter followed suit, citing the glorification of violence for his role in the escalation and mobilization of the mobs. Trump vowed to subvert Facebook and Twitter by starting his own social media platform, which turned out to be little more than a blog, I think. It was a whole lot of nothing. The inauguration itself, January the 20th, President Joe Biden, Vice President Kamala Harris sworn in. Harris's election in particular is historic. She's the first female, Black, and South Asian vice president in history. January the 8th, kind of a sad day, was the final episode of Jeopardy that featured Alex Trebek. Trebek died of pancreatic cancer 13 months ago. January 8th was the last broadcast with him as the host. And the replacement host became a big story of 2021. Huge social media campaign to try to get LeVar Burton in the job. He would have been amazing. Instead, first, Jeopardy hired its own executive producer, Mike Richards. That decision blew up in their faces. Then the host duties were shared by former Jeopardy winner Ken Jennings. Ken Jennings had a 74-game winning streak on Jeopardy. And actress Mayim Bialik. who is a neuroscientist and a former star of The Big Bang Theory. Bialik has been in hot water because of some comments she made a while back about being wary of vaccines. January 26th saw the global number of COVID-19 cases surpass 100 million. As of right now, that number is approaching 300 million, with 5.5 million deaths worldwide. Related to COVID, 2021 saw the Great Resignation. Or resignations. During the pandemic, we have seen this wave of people who were just quitting their jobs, many of them saying they want a better work-life balance. In the month of April, 2.7% of the American workforce quit. That was a record. And it was beaten again in the month of August of this year. Many people are seeing this trend. Workers are just drawing their own lines in the sand. They're sick and tired of being taken advantage of. They want better pay. They want more time off. They want better treatment. Many people say this is just an excuse. Lazy people are using the pandemic as an excuse not to work. Now, honestly, we'll probably find examples of both out there. You know, you'll find people legitimately upset, and then there are some people who just needed an excuse to check out. But, you know, I think it's nice to see a lot of people telling the boss that, you know what, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. On the 2nd of February, Jeff Bezos announced he was stepping down as the CEO of Amazon. He's been involved with a bunch of other stuff, including Blue Origin. This is his space startup company. Now, Bezos is 57. He's got a net worth of about $200 billion. And in July, he blasted into space, sort of, on his own rocket, the New Shepard rocket that was on the 52nd anniversary of the Apollo 11 moon landing. And new space was a thing this year. Virgin Atlantic billionaire Richard Branson, he had his own space run. He'd been up in space 9 days before Bezos. Although Jeff Bezos hit an altitude of 66 miles, Branson 56 miles. William Shatner went to space on a Bezos rocket back in October. 90 years old, William Shatner, the oldest person to ever go to space. And then, of course, we get into the whole conversation about billionaire toys in a world where there's so much to be done. Poverty, hunger, suffering. Do we really want to see billions of dollars pissed away on this stuff? Is it a wonderful and necessary evolution in private space travel, something that benefits all of humankind and speaks to us as the human explorer? Is it a wasteful penis measuring contest that even further separates the rich from the rest of us? I'll let you have that conversation on your own. By the way, I did think that Jeff Bezos's rocket did look like a big space dildo. Did you see it go up? And everybody was saying it. It looks like a penis. Looks like a big space dildo. Another history-making event, 2nd of February, Pete Buttigieg. He was confirmed by the Senate as transportation secretary. That's the first openly gay cabinet secretary in history. Some people think he is in line at some point to run for president again soon. February saw the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, led by Tom Brady, win Super Bowl 55 over the Kansas City Chiefs. Tom Brady got his 7th Vince Lombardi trophy in that game. February 12th, Rush Limbaugh, conservative talk show host, died of advanced lung cancer. I wrote a whole chapter about Rush Limbaugh in my book. Not just Rush, but right-wing talk radio in general. Rush dominated conservative talk radio for 3 decades, and he paved the way for people like Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, Bill O'Reilly. Rush Limbaugh often used hateful rhetoric and racist and bigoted commentary, targeted people of color, women, LGBT people, people with disabilities. But of course, before he died, President Donald Trump decided to give him the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Go figure. Rush Limbaugh, dead of lung cancer at 70. February saw Gina Carano, the actor, let go from The Mandalorian and her contract at Disney over controversial tweets about voter fraud, mocking people wearing masks, comparing the United States political climate to Nazi Germany, and lampooning those who put pronouns in their social media bios. Many people saw that as mocking trans people. She softened that position on the bios after talking to co-star Pedro Pascal, but she remained defiant overall and she was let go. She was fired. Then she teamed up with Ben Shapiro for a new film project. Ben Shapiro is in my top five for worst person on the internet. So when you see that association, at least when I see it, I can't help but think that Carano isn't a victim, doesn't deserve a whole lot of sympathy. I mean, Ben Shapiro. By the way, 2021 also saw the blow up over the Dave Chappelle Netflix special, accusations that he was transphobic. I never saw the special. I don't watch a lot of stand-up. I'm not a Chappelle fan. Netflix refused to pull the show despite protests. February the 20th, we saw Snowmageddon. What in the world is going on with the weather? Texas and much of the Southwest and the Midwest saw a massive winter storm, resulting in rolling power cuts, record low temperatures. We hit -9 here in Oklahoma. I've never seen that in my lifetime. Disaster relief measures approved for Texas. By the way, this is a state that's saddled with massive power and infrastructure issues, totally unprepared for a storm like this. Millions of Texans without electricity or clean water. 170 million Americans under some kind of weather alert. Blackouts for almost 10 million. And the overall death toll hit 240 people. This is the deadliest winter storm in North America since the major storm of 1993. On the 2nd of March of this year, I thought it was an innocuous announcement. Apparently it was not. The estate of Dr. Seuss announced that six of the author's books would no longer be published because of racist and offensive imagery. Two of the books were And to Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street and If I Ran the Zoo. The decision was made over these racially insensitive drawings of African and Asian people inside the book. For example, Mulberry Street features a character called a Chinaman with lines for eyes carrying rice and chopsticks. And If I Ran the Zoo depicts two island Africans that were drawn as monkeys. Immediately, critics complained about cancel culture, blaming those evil liberals for shutting down Dr. Seuss, despite the fact that it was the Seuss estate itself that voluntarily decided not to keep publishing those books. An internal decision that once again became yet another mountain out of an anthill. March the 7th, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle were interviewed by Oprah on international television. They dropped the bombshells that some inside the family were concerned about the skin color or the skin darkness of her child, Archie. Meghan also revealed she wrestled with suicidal thoughts, that they left the royal family because they felt trapped, and that Harry had been financially cut off in 2020. Of course, we're not crying too hard for Harry and Meghan. They've been working the high-profile, high-dollar deals of the highest-paid celebrities with organizations like Netflix. In fact, they are preparing a documentary about their lives. And in case you're interested, more royal family news from April the 9th. Prince Philip, husband of Queen Elizabeth II, died at the age of 99. By the way, the BBC received over 100,000 complaints. Viewers were upset that there was just too much coverage. March the 14th at the Grammy Awards, Beyoncé became the most awarded woman in Grammy history. She had four that night, 28 Grammys total. She's tied for the most overall with the legendary Quincy Jones. March 16th, a gunman shot to death 8 people at 3 Atlanta area massage parlors. A 9th person was wounded. The 21-year-old gunman taken into custody. He said he had a sexual addiction which clashed with his Christianity, and that internal conflict motivated him to violence. He pled guilty. He's serving life without parole. It was only 6 days later when a gunman opened fire at a Boulder, Colorado grocery store, killing 10. The gunman had a history of paranoid and disturbed behavior and a history of assault. The shooting led to the passage of gun reform legislation in the Colorado General Assembly. March 29th saw the first day of the trial against former Minnesota police officer Derek Chauvin in the killing of George Floyd. Chauvin convicted about 3 weeks after the trial began. 22 years in prison, parole possible after 15. March of this year saw the cargo ship The Ever Given. It was trapped in the Suez Canal for 6 days before crews finally dislodged it. The jam clogged global trade for a week to the tune of billions of dollars a day. And then when workers dislodged it under high tides, evangelist Franklin Graham jumped on Facebook to thank God. Essentially, he said, oh, the position of the moon manipulated the tides. Therefore, God gets the credit for dislodging the Ever Given. You cannot make this stuff up. Yes, God manipulated the moon in a way that it was going to be positioned anyway. Social media algorithms were under the spotlight this year. April saw the Senate Judiciary hearing with Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube talking about how social media targets content to its users. The leaders of Google, Facebook, and Twitter had already been grilled on Capitol Hill the month before about how their platforms might have played a part in the January 6th insurrection. And then came the Facebook whistleblower a few months later. Frances Haugen worked for Facebook and accused them of incentivizing, quote, angry, polarizing, divisive content for engagement and profit. She testified in October before a Senate committee. She had secretly copied tens of thousands of pages of Facebook internal research as evidence that Facebook is doing very little to curb hate speech, violent content, and the incitements to violence. Frances Haugen appeared on 60 Minutes to talk about it. Here's a clip.
The team I worked on was called Civic Integrity, and it was responsible for trying to make sure that Facebook was a good force in society. And right after the election, like within weeks after the election, they told us we're dissolving Civic Integrity. Like they basically said, oh, good, we made it through the election. There wasn't riots. We can get rid of Civic Integrity now. And when they got rid of Civic Integrity, it was the moment where I was like, I don't trust that they're willing to actually invest what needs to be invested to keep Facebook from being dangerous.
And then in October, Facebook announced its umbrella company was changing its name. The social platform Facebook is still going to be Facebook, but the umbrella company is now Meta. Problem is, they discovered too late there's another company in Arizona called Meta PC. Well, this other company had filed for a trademark on Meta for technological use back in August. But no problem, they said. We'll sell the name to Facebook. We just want $20 million. That discussion is still going on. It was in April of this year, Joe Rogan, one of the world's highest paid, most popular, and in my opinion, most frustrating podcasters, told his listeners if a 21-year-old asked if they should get vaccinated, he would suggest no because they are young and healthy. Then in September, Joe Rogan got COVID and he said he took the drug ivermectin, which has been debunked as a COVID preventative or treatment. Then tons of people go out this year to buy ivermectin. The version of the drug for animal use is a dewormer, has serious side effects to humans, nausea, vomiting, neurologic disorders, severe hepatitis. There's a less potent version actually used in humans for head lice and various skin conditions. And then, of course, there's Joe Rogan here in the month of December, who said that the deep state is 100% real. So, of course, Joe Rogan is drinking deep the Kool-Aid of conspiracy. It was in April of this year that we all watched in suspense as the Ingenuity Mars helicopter was set for its first ever flight over the surface of Mars. It's a cool machine designed just for the Mars atmosphere. It's got these carbon fiber rotors that spin at 2,400 RPM, which is many times faster than a helicopter on Earth because, of course, Mars has such a thin atmosphere. Ingenuity was actually named by a high school student in Alabama who had submitted the idea to NASA. Vanessa Rupani. Well done, Vanessa. And of course, thank you, science. The Academy Awards in April 21, the lowest ratings in the history of the Oscars. Nobody watched this year's broadcast. 58% audience drop from last year, which was then the lowest rated Oscar broadcast. Nobody cares. I just think they're becoming more and more archaic and irrelevant. It's not that we don't love the movies. It's just that the whole format is outdated, and most of the winning movies seem to be Oscar bait historical or period pieces, when all of these other genres are ignored because, what, they're just too popular? If you want a reference on audience numbers for the Oscars, 7 years ago, 40 million people watched. This year, under 10 million people watched. Just in case you're interested, Best Actor went to Anthony Hopkins for The Father. Frances McDormand won for Nomadland. Nomadland also won Best Picture and Best Director. Best Animated Feature was Soul, and Best Documentary, a good one, My Octopus Teacher. What were the big movies of 2021, box office-wise? Holy cow, Spider-Man No Way Home releases to major critical acclaim and shatters box office records. How about a debut weekend? This is one weekend. Worldwide, $587 million. Holy moly. Other big box office movies this year, the Marvel movie Shang-Chi, followed by Venom, then Black Widow. Do you see a trend there? Like superhero films? Fast and Furious 9, Eternals, No Time to Die, the new James Bond, A Quiet Place Part 2, and Free Guy. The electric car really came to the forefront in 2021. Pew Research says roughly 7% of Americans own an EV or a hybrid. 39% of Americans say they are considering one. But here in the United States, we've been slower to embrace the electric car than other nations like China. China has 44% of all the EVs in the world. New data just revealed that Norway last year became the first country in the world to sell more electric vehicles than petrol or diesel cars. It's been reported that suicide rates in this country had the biggest annual decline in 40 years, a 6% drop in 2021. That's a surprise with COVID and all the mental stress that that has produced. The numbers did go up in a few demographics: people aged 10 to 34, African Americans, American Indians, Alaska Natives, and Hispanic males. Of course, the crisis far from solved. June saw the end of the long and divisive reign of Israel's Benjamin Netanyahu. He served as prime minister for 12 years. June the 19th, President Biden signed legislation to make Juneteenth a federal holiday. Juneteenth, a national commemoration of the end of slavery in the United States. The remains of 751 people, mainly children, found in unmarked graves on the site of a former boarding school in Saskatchewan. For decades, Indigenous children were ripped away from their families, and they were housed in crowded, church-run boarding schools, abused, locked away from their families, even prohibited from speaking in their native tongues. This year saw the discovery of a burial site with unmarked graves for as many as 751 people. And that site was uncovered only a few weeks after another church-run school for Indigenous students was discovered in British Columbia. And these discoveries reveal, again, the systematic abuse as part of a system which started in the 19th century and has repercussions even today. This past summer, scientists in China finally aged a fossilized skull. It's a new species of ancient human, Homo Longi, or Longi, L-O-N-G-I. It's affectionately called Dragon Man. Discovered in 1933, but nobody could figure out how old it was. Now it is known, 140,000 years old. Now the Dragon Man is apparently our closest relative in the human family tree. This is, of course, another blow to the creationists who believe that humans were always created in their present form. This year, the U.S. had UFO fever. Again, the Pentagon Task Force declassified a bunch of UFO documents, which revealed that we still consider unidentified flying objects unidentified. There was some new material that exposed really nothing new. This did not stop the conspiracy theorist from having their aha moment and declaring that the government was involved in a giant cover-up of, aliens or whatever. This year, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court released convicted rapist Bill Cosby from prison. His sentence was overturned in the court because the court said he was denied specific and certain rights at his trial, protection against self-incrimination. Bill Cosby was on year 3 of a 3 to 10 year sentence, and under the law, he cannot be retried. Drones are everywhere these days. What if drones could help us fix the problem of plastic pollution? Well, there's a UK company, Ellipsis Earth, and they've been using drones to map plastic pollution all around the world. They're using cameras so that cleanup efforts can target the biggest problem areas with more regulation, more disposal options, and sending crews to remove the plastic. The United States alone generates 42 metric tons of plastic waste every year. And if that number doesn't mean much to you, it comes to 286 pounds of plastic waste per person every single year. July of this year saw the Tokyo Summer Olympics after a year postponement due to COVID. Athletes from 206 nations competed. 20 world records were set, including 3 from U.S. athletes. Interestingly, it was gymnast Simone Biles. She made headlines when she chose to bow out of the individual all-around competition because she didn't feel mentally ready. And then the whole planet went crazy. Some people said Simone was just a big baby, and other people said, good for her. She's being honest that she's not mentally ready to go out there and perform. Experts then talked about a phenomenon that many of us had not heard of. It's known as the twisties. And the twisties, kind of like the yips in golf, I guess, it's a mental block. And if gymnasts get them and they cannot land their jumps safely, they can get seriously injured. The twisties can strike any gymnast at any time, even those who've done a routine for years and years. Simone Biles has won 7 Olympic medals, including 4 gold medals. In my opinion, she owes an explanation to nobody. Simone Biles joined other Olympic gymnasts in September of this year, accusing the FBI of mishandling the case against convicted rapist Larry Nassar. The young women molested by Nassar, they say the FBI's mishandling of the whole thing allowed Nassar to molest girls for an extra year, including new victims. Larry Nassar was the team doctor for the United States Women's National Gymnastics team. It said he sexually abused 265 young women and girls. He is serving a life sentence for rape, child pornography, and tampering with evidence. August the 15th, the government of Afghanistan taken over by the Taliban as the United States ended its 10-year occupation. Then the shitstorm ensued, some people saying we'd betrayed our soldiers. We'd abandoned the country. Other people said it was a lose-lose anyway, like Vietnam, time to cut our losses and return responsibility to the Afghan people. Reports have swelled about Taliban atrocities, especially against women, since they took over. New York City announced it would be the first U.S. city to require proof of COVID vaccinations to enter businesses. That same month, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo resigned from office over a sexual harassment scandal. Then, in the month of December, CNN fired the brother of Andrew Cuomo, Chris Cuomo, who was a host at CNN. Turns out that Chris Cuomo was using his position as a news broadcaster to serve as a behind-the-scenes advisor to his brother, when he was still governor of New York. Essentially, he was abusing his position as a journalist to assist Andrew Cuomo amid all the sexual harassment allegations. CNN hired an independent law firm. They found a bunch of text messages with Chris Cuomo giving strategic advice to his brother, so the network gave him the X. Now, do you think Fox News is going to fire its compromised hosts, right? Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, and others were sending direct text messages to Donald Trump on the day of the insurrection saying, you got to stop this, you got to stop this, you got to stop this, right? It's weird. Fox News people have a direct line to the president. They're advising him. They're palling up with Donald Trump on the day of terrorism at the Capitol, saying, you have the power to do something or to stop this. Don't tell me these are objective journalists at Fox News. California, Idaho, Nevada, Oregon, Utah, all with a record hot summer this year. An additional 21 states had a top 10 hottest summer. The overall hottest summer since the Dust Bowl of 1936, according to the NOAA. Climate Central says heat-trapping greenhouse gases are raising global temperatures, which becomes most apparent in the summer months. Of course, we're seeing a lot of this going on here in the month of December, even. This year, researchers at Brown University successfully transmitted brain signals wirelessly to a computer for the very first time. It's called a BCI, a brain-computer interface, and it just might change the lives of paralyzed people who might soon be able to think their way to the movement of artificial limbs and the manipulation of devices in their homes, moving things with the mind and computers. Stay tuned as this technology moves forward. We've got lots more to do as we plow through some of the biggest and hopefully most interesting stories of 2021. Plus, we've got the celebrities and famous people that we lost. And we finish the broadcast with some great weird news from all around the world. 2021 in review continues next. This broadcast releases 2 days early, and it's totally commercial-free to my patrons. And if you are not a patron, I would love your support with my thanks. Patreon.com/SethAndrews. As we continue our end-of-year special 2021, the Year in Review. September saw Texas implement a draconian abortion law outlawing abortions after 6 weeks. Now, this is before many women even know they're pregnant. And enabling private citizens to essentially turn in their fellow Texans for violations. The fines run $10,000 for breaking the statute. And the U.S. Supreme Court refused to block the statute, although it placed a few limits on enforcement. Many people see this as just the next step to dismantling Roe v. Wade. All justices on the Supreme Court represent some flavor of the Abrahamic religions, okay? Now, given that one quarter of Americans identify as non-religious, tell me how we have a representative court, or a representative Congress, for that matter. September saw California Governor Gavin Newsom win the recall election. 46 people tried to take the governor's chair. Conservative recall supporters were upset, didn't like the way he was handling the pandemic, the homelessness problem, water rationing, sanctuary city policies, and more. So they decided they were going to recall him, and yet he did survive. Gavin Newsom will finish out all of his second term. 2021 marked the 20th anniversary of the attacks of 9/11. Can you believe it has been 20 years since the terrorist hit us on the 11th of September? President Biden took the day to visit all three memorial sites in New York City, in Pennsylvania, and at the Pentagon. October saw the death of Colin Powell. He was the first black U.S. Secretary of State. He served from 2001 to 2005. He died on the 18th of October, and he died of COVID-19 complications. Colin Powell had a compromised immune system, and he suffered from Parkinson's and a blood cancer, multiple myeloma. Colin Powell, dead at the age of 84. We mentioned earlier that COVID-19 had changed the workforce. The pandemic has also changed how we queue, waiting in lines at restaurants, theme parks, other places. These days, instead of physically standing in line, establishments have been implementing virtual queues. So you pull up the website or the app, you type in your name, you get an estimate of when your table or place or whatever is going to be ready, and then you just show up a minute or two beforehand and you are set. It is amazing to me how it took a global pandemic to get businesses to do this. It sure beats waiting in the long line. Here's just a little bubblegum for the brain. In the month of October, the original Nightmare on Elm Street house went on sale in Los Angeles. I'd buy that home. I'd totally buy the Elm Street house. The interior of the home looks nothing like the interior from the 1984 horror film. It's been modernized, but the exterior is just like the movie. And it was listed, this house, the Nightmare on Elm Street house, was listed to the public for $3.4 million. It was the 2nd of November. Hundreds of QAnoners gathered in Dallas, Texas at the site where JFK was assassinated. They were waiting for history to be made. Many were wearing t-shirts that said Trump Kennedy 2024. Okay, so they're waiting on JFK Jr. because they believed that Kennedy was not killed over 20 years ago in a plane crash. He's been sort of in disguise, slipping around in the shadows for the last two decades. All right, look, rather than me explain it, here's a clip from Late Night with Jimmy Kimmel to explain it.
QAnon nuts gathered in Dealey Plaza to witness the triumphant return of John F. Kennedy Jr., who you may recall is dead. He died in a plane crash in 1999, but these people believe he didn't actually die. He's been working as a secret agent of Donald Trump to put him in power. For real. So this, they believed he was coming back at 12:30. This is the scene at 12:29 this afternoon when John was expected to arrive in Dallas.
It is almost 12:29. Any minute now, the big reveal.
You're going to find this hard to believe. He didn't show. He did not. Can you imagine how rude that is? All those people thought JFK Jr. was coming to see them in Dallas. And even if he did come, do you think he would be on your side?
The QAnoners then switched the narrative to say that JFK Jr. would show up that night at a Rolling Stones concert. Of course, he did not. How many QAnoners were prompted in their disappointments to change their minds? I would not hold my breath. This is interesting. This year, Texas announced plans for the world's largest 3D printed neighborhood. An entire community in Austin, Texas, made up of 100 single-story 3D printed houses. It'll be built with these big robotic machines and a concrete-based building material. The roofs are going to have solar cells, and each house will take 1 week to build. Imagine building a 2,000 square foot house in just 7 days. Tragedy at the Astroworld Festival in Houston last month after some attendees rushed a VIP entrance. They ignored security. Concert goers were crushed as headliner Travis Scott was on stage. People suffocated against this crowd surge, crying out for help. They couldn't be heard over the loud music. Help me, help me, help me. Nobody could hear. Roughly 50,000 people crowded the venue. 9 people crushed to death and many more injured. The chant was thought to be, "Let's go, Brandon." And it became hugely popular in the United States. The story goes like this. There was this NASCAR race at Talladega in Alabama. NASCAR driver Brandon Brown was being interviewed by NBC, and all of a sudden the crowd started chanting. And the NBC reporter thought that they were chanting, "Let's go, Brandon." Well, actually, they were chanting, "Fuck Joe Biden." So, in the MAGA crowd and among many Republicans, "Let's go, Brandon" became a thing. right? The replacement, it actually means, fuck you, Biden. Memes, t-shirts, hats, posters showing up everywhere. A middle finger to the president of the United States. The phrase used by several politicians, including Texas Governor Greg Abbott, Texas Senator Ted Cruz, Colorado Representative Lauren Boebert. She wore the saying on a dress. In her words, she said, "Let's go, Brandon," is not a phrase. It's a movement. Most interesting to me is how people are shouting this stuff and chanting it inside church halls on Sunday mornings. There's video of churches all around the country and congregants there to praise Jesus are all screaming the equivalent of, "Fuck you, Biden." People, 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 what would Jesus do? November saw the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. Rittenhouse shot three men, killing two with a rifle during a protest in Kenosha, Wisconsin last year. The prosecution said he was guilty of reckless homicide. The defense claimed Kyle was a victim as he ran the streets carrying a Smith & Wesson M&P 15. By the way, he was found not guilty, and guess what? He has become a darling of the Republican Party and the evangelical right. He's got speaking gigs and he's got news appearances and he's just the darling. I'm sure he's on t-shirts, right? He is now the poster child for a specific demographic of the United States. It's just pathetic. November had us all using a new word, Omicron. The new COVID variant, it's said to be more infectious than earlier COVID. Studies are still underway on vaccine efficacy against it. The CDC says, whatever happens, one thing does remain hugely helpful against all variants, masks. So continue to wear your masks in public. This month, United Airlines made history, flying 100 passengers in a 737 from Chicago to Washington, D.C. Now, doesn't sound all that interesting until you realize that they flew this 737 on 100% environmentally sustainable jet fuel that was made out of sugar water and corn. It burned 75% cleaner than petroleum-based fuels, although there's still debate about emissions still harming the environment. And then there's the use of food crops for airline fuel when we need food, right? There's so much hunger in the world. Do we really want to divert this resource to the airline industry? By the way, 17 billion gallons of aviation fuel are burned every year just in the United States. Imagine jet fuel. Would it smell like corn and grease? Like if you're in the airplane, would you smell corn and grease from the emissions from the engines? I don't know. This is just something I wonder. It's how my brain works. Now it's time to take a moment to remember many of the celebrities that we lost, famous names anyway, people that passed away in 2021, January 13th, Siegfried Fischbacher of the famous performance duo Siegfried and Roy. Siegfried and Roy entertained Vegas audiences for decades. Siegfried died of pancreatic cancer at the age of 81. January 16th, famous music producer Phil Spector, the guy behind the Righteous Brothers, You've Lost That Love and Feeling, the Ronettes, Be My Baby, the Beatles, Let It Be album, to name just a few, found guilty of a murder, the murder of actress Lana Clarkson back in 2003. Phil Spector died in prison. He was 81. Legendary baseball manager Tommy Lasorda passed away this year. He was 94 years old. January 22nd, Major League Baseball legend Hank Aaron, widely regarded as one of the greatest baseball players of all time, 755 home runs in his career. He was 86. In January, we lost Emmy-winning broadcaster Larry King. He was 87. Longtime actor Hal Holbrook at the age of 95. Actress Cloris Leachman. I'll always remember her as Frau Blücher from the movie Young Frankenstein. She died at home at 94. Actress Cicely Tyson died on the 28th of January. Oscar winner, Emmy winner, the first black woman to ever receive an honorary Academy Award in 2018 and got the Presidential Medal of Freedom. She was 96. Screech on Saved by the Bell, actor Dustin Diamond. He died the 1st of February, stage 4, lung cancer. He was only 44 years old. Legendary actor Christopher Plummer died at his home at 91. Man, this guy's career spanned the decades, from The Sound of Music to a Star Trek movie to the 2019 hit Knives Out, more than 80 films plus work on stage and TV. February the 10th, Larry Flint, the founder of Hustler magazine and a huge adult entertainment empire, he had heart failure at 78. Actor Yaphet Kotto, acting credits including the James Bond movie Live and Let Die. He was in Alien, The Running Man, Homicide, Life on the Street. He died March 15th. Grammy-nominated rapper DMX passed away April 9th. He had an overdose that led to a heart attack. He was 50. April 19th, the former VP under Jimmy Carter, Walter Mondale. He died at his home in Minneapolis. He was 93. He was the first guy who ever ran for president with a woman as his running mate, Geraldine Ferraro. They lost the election, but they certainly helped to open some doors. May 1st, we lost Oscar-winning actress Olympia Dukakis at 89. Charles Grodin of Midnight Run, the Beethoven movies. He had bone marrow cancer, died at 86 in May. Actor Gavin McLeod, you know, Captain Stubing on The Love Boat. He died at 90 in May. Ned Beatty starred in Superman, Deliverance, and Network. He died June 13th. He was 83. Tony Award-winning actor Samuel E. Wright. He died at 74. You know his voice. He was Sebastian the Crab in Disney's The Little Mermaid. Richard Donner, the Hollywood director behind the original Superman with Christopher Reeve. He directed the Lethal Weapon movies and the Goonies and Scrooged and The Omen. He was 91. He died July the 5th. Dusty Hill, bass player for ZZ Top. He died at 72 at his home in Houston, Texas. That was at the end of July of this year. The co-founder of Kool & the Gang, Dennis D.T. Thomas. He was famous for so many classics like Celebration and Get Down on It. He died in his sleep August 7th. He was 70. Charlie Watts played drums for the Rolling Stones for nearly 60 years. He passed away August 24th after various health issues. He was 80. Another drummer died this year, Graham Edge, 80 years old. You know him as drummer for the Moody Blues. Ed Asner, the legendary actor and seven-time Emmy winner. He passed away late August. He first gained fame on the classic TV series Mary Tyler Moore. Ed Asner was 91. Willard Scott, the famous TV weather guy from The Today Show. He died September 4th. He was 87. Actor and comedian Norm Macdonald. He gained fame on Saturday Night Live. He had been privately battling cancer for almost a decade, and almost no one knew about it. He finally succumbed on the 14th of September. He was 61 years old. Dean Stockwell from Quantum Leap and I don't know how many other series and films. He was 85, died November 7th, natural causes. The legendary composer Stephen Sondheim, called the Titan of the American musical. He wrote the lyrics for West Side Story, produced Sweeney Todd for the stage, along with 24 other Broadway shows, producing 5 Tony Awards. He wrote the song Send In the Clowns and so many other classics. He died of natural causes, 91. That was November the 26th. By the way, if you haven't seen Steven Spielberg's film version of West Side Story, which just released, it is a masterpiece. I don't even like musicals. It is absolutely 2.5 hours of time well spent. It's just freaking brilliant. December 5th. Bob Dole, former U.S. Senator and presidential candidate. He died at 98. The singer and guitarist for the 1960s pop group The Monkees, Michael Nesmith. He died December 10th. He was 78 years old. December the 11th, Anne Rice passed away, author of The Vampire Chronicles, including Interview with a Vampire. Hugely successful American author. She died of complications from a stroke. She was 80 years old. And on the 26th of this month, the day after Christmas, Desmond Tutu, the Nobel Peace Prize-winning archbishop and human rights activist who helped to lead the fight against apartheid, the official policy of racial segregation in his native South Africa. The Nelson Mandela Foundation has called his loss immeasurable. Desmond Tutu had been fighting various health issues for the past 7 years, and he finally succumbed at the age of 90. Of course, that is far from a comprehensive list, but just some of the famous names that we lost in 2021. Let's lighten things up, shall we? Short break. When I come back, a potpourri of some of the weirdest and wildest and wackiest stories from all around the world as we do the final segment of 2021, the year in review. Thank you so much for listening. Happy New Year in advance as we prepare for 2022. Recapping some of the big stories of the last year, let's do some weird news. Probably one of my favorite parts, maybe it's yours as well, of this kind of roundup where you just sort of pinball around the country, around the world and go, this actually happened. It's Weird News 2021. Here we go. Lucille Randon survived COVID-19. That's really good news. It's not necessarily hugely newsworthy, unless you take into account that she was just a few days before her 117th birthday. She tested positive for COVID, didn't have much in the way of symptoms. She isolated, fully recovered, and then celebrated birthday number 117. She is, by the way, the oldest person in Europe. Mary Flanagan, who's a professor at Dartmouth College, set a Guinness World Record last month. She created the world's largest video game joystick. She made it out of wood, rubber, and steel. It's 9 feet tall, nearly 14 times the size of a classic Atari joystick. She was an avid Atari 2600 gamer, and finally Guinness took notice and recognized her handiwork. And yeah, just Google world's largest joystick and it will, well, be careful. Very world's largest Mary Flanagan joystick. Do that and it should pop up on your search feed. Another interesting video game story, Patricia Martin of Indiana. She found a sealed copy of the 1988 video game cartridge for Super Mario 2, mint condition. She sold that video game cartridge at auction and made $88,000. And that's not the world record for a video game sold at auction. That was set earlier this year in July. It was a 1996 Super Mario 64 sealed in mint condition, and it sold for $1.5 million. Come on, people. Really? Somebody discovered a lost credit card in Italy near the city of Palermo. The tourist happened upon a credit card lying on the ground, turned it into the police. That credit card belonged to the actor Harrison Ford. No kidding. The police took a few extra minutes to pose with Harrison Ford when he came in to the station to pick up the credit card. I mean, who can blame them? He was in Sicily shooting the new Indiana Jones movie. I mentioned earlier in the broadcast about the Nightmare on Elm Street house that went up for sale this year. That's not the only hot property for 2021. The real-life Conjuring house went on the block. One of the prisons where Mindhunter was filmed went up for sale. Prince's Purple Rain tour bus was listed to the public. And some other interesting potential buys this year. There's a Lake Tahoe house being listed as is, which is important because the owner, for some reason, filled the entire house with a bunch of creepy mannequins. So if you buy the house, you buy the mannequins. If you're a fan of Westerns, there is a home in Seattle, and it has an entire Western ghost town as its backyard. It's on sale for $1.8 million. And Trenton, Florida has a decommissioned, fully intact, and reportedly haunted jail for sale as a home. 8 cells or 8 cell bedrooms, 8 bathrooms to go with the cells, which I'm guessing are just the metal toilet. It's a 2-story jail. It's being sold as a home. I saw the photos. It is definitely a fixer-upper, if you know what I mean. Bad news on the SpaceX Dragon capsule. Last month and the days before their return to Earth, the astronauts discovered that the space toilets were broken. And so the astronauts had no choice but to return to terra firma, wearing diapers to prevent another kind of splashdown. There's a weird beauty pageant that happens in Saudi Arabia. The King Abdulaziz Camel Festival. Yes, a beauty pageant for camels. But that's not the weird part, my friends. This year, 40 entries were disqualified because, and I'm not kidding, it was discovered that owners were giving their camels Botox injections to make them prettier? What? It all seems rather cruel when you think about it. Here's a clash of foods that should never have happened. Arby's this year introduced two versions of French fry flavored vodka. French fry vodka. Like, would you try it? You can choose. You can have curly fry flavored vodka or crinkle fry vodka. Just Google it. I think Arby's may still be selling it somewhere. Here's some interesting technology news out of Singapore. Scientists developed a device that can turn human sweat into energy. Scientists at Nanyang Technological University found their inspiration in perspiration. It's a battery that you wear, and its tiny electrodes generate electricity from human sweat. And the sticky electrodes are about the size of a small Band-Aid. They put somebody on a stationary bike for 30 minutes as part of an experiment, and that person on the bike generated enough energy to briefly power a Bluetooth smartphone connection. In financial news, Mr. Gox has been picking various cryptocurrency stocks this year and been doing a really good job, with Mr. Gox's profits up 20%. The thing is, my friends, Mr. Gox is a hamster. The owner set up this hamster wheel, and then he can choose one of two tunnels to go through, and those tunnels decide if the stock that you land on is bought or sold, and then this decision is actually sent to a real trading platform. This year, Mr. Gox has had a higher profit track record, a better percentage than Bitcoin, the NASDAQ 100, and even Warren Buffett. Mr. Gox, the money hamster. Adam Jenny was kicked off of his United Airlines flight. Why? Because he was wearing women's underwear on his face. As a face mask. Of course, masks are mandated for air travel these days. Adam Jenny thought the whole thing about masks was just absurd. Masks don't work, or it's a violation of my civil liberties, or it's just stupid, whatever. So, to protest, he boarded the plane with his face wrapped in panties. The flight attendants were not amused, and because it was a thong, it didn't properly cover the mouth and nose anyway, which is required. So he was ejected from the plane. By the way, this is not the first time Adam Jenny has been removed from a flight for this particular stunt. Maybe he just likes wearing women's panties on his face. A man in Connecticut was at a yard sale and he saw a bowl that he thought looked kind of pretty, some pretty designs on it. He bought it, paid $35. That's a lot of money for a yard sale. But for some reason, after a while, he looked at it and thought, you know, where did this come from and what might it be worth? And so he had it checked out by an appraiser. And the appraiser did some homework, checked around, did some research. Oh, this bowl happens to be a rare 15th century Chinese artifact. Its estimated value is about 20,000 times what you paid for it. It has since sold again. This time at Sotheby's auction. It was sold not for $35, but for $721,000. The cannabis company in Massachusetts named MaryMed decided to commemorate National Brownie Day on the 8th of this month by making a giant marijuana brownie. How big is this sucker? Try 850 pounds. It's 3 feet by 3 feet, 15 inches high, and it contains more than 20,000 milligrams of THC. So now the brownie can get baked before you do. A man in Biella, Italy needed a COVID vaccination for a health certificate, but he didn't want to get the vaccine, so he walked into the vaccination area with a fake arm. The nurse was not fooled. Polk County, Florida. A lady called 911 to report a huge alligator in somebody's shed next door. Police officers arrived and discovered that it was, in fact, an inflatable pool floaty. A 25-year-old man stole $700 worth of equipment from Anderson Mill Baptist Church in South Carolina. He showed up without a disguise, right? Didn't have a mask on or anything. And then inside the church, he's rummaging through stuff, and I guess for one of their drama plays or something, he finds a Batman costume. So during the robbery, he stops and he puts the costume on and then finishes stealing stuff, not realizing that there were church security cameras watching the whole thing. Dalton Lazarick, arrested after making off with a couple of computer monitors, some sound equipment, a keyboard, and some Apple AirPods. Dalton was not in costume as Batman when they took his mugshot. We've all seen how creative drug runners can be when trying to transport illegal product. I've got to give props to these drug smugglers discovered in Milan. They were caught transporting 130 grams of cocaine by inserting the powder into 4.5 pounds of individual coffee beans. How is that even done? How do you get cocaine into a coffee bean? Do you use a needle and inject it somehow? 4.5 pounds of individual coffee beans, bags of coffee beans. A 50-year-old who had a long rap sheet was arrested at the Milan airport. Does your dog have anxiety? Sky News reported that a new TV network for dogs is on the air. Dog TV was developed following studies into dog psychology. So the colors and the audio frequencies and even the camera motions were adapted specifically for the senses of dogs. So if your sweet little puppy has trouble with stress or boredom or whatever, now they can doggy binge watch. Dog TV has been broadcasting since last month in the UK. Let's finish with a warm, fuzzy story for the holiday season. We're all familiar with vending machines. You put your money in, and out comes a soft drink, coffee, candy bar, chips, whatever. Well, cities throughout the United States are now placing giving machines. It's like a vending machine in reverse. So you walk by, you stop, you insert a few bucks or a credit card, and you are making a charitable donation to local, national, and global charities, and you get to choose the charity. The buttons are different charities. You make your donation. Out pops a postcard that has an image and description of that donation, a keepsake for you. 100% of that donation goes directly to whatever charity you choose. Donations topped $6 million in the year before COVID. They had to pull the plug last year, literally. But the machines are back for the holiday season this year. And I just like the idea. You know, you're walking along, you're at the airport, you're grocery shopping, whatever. You see a giving machine, you stop by, give a few bucks, and walk away with a smile. I hope you and yours have a wonderful and safe New Year's holiday. We're back in January. Our next broadcast is show number 600. Thank you so much for almost 600 broadcasts. Take care, Happy New Year, and I'll see you next time.
Follow The Thinking Atheist on Facebook and Twitter. For a complete archive of podcasts and videos, products like mugs and t-shirts featuring the Thinking Atheist logo, links to atheist pages and resources, and details on upcoming free thought events and conventions, log on to our website, thethinkingatheist.com.